This is URN.
The Popular Table Breakdown.
You are listening to The Popular Table. I'm Ibby and I'm joined today by Alex, and we are now going to be having a discussion on mental health with regards to pop culture. As always, you can send in your thoughts to www.urn1350.net. There's a text bar on the side. And you can tweet us at urn1350 and at Popular Table. So to get things started, we've been planning a mental health special for a while, and that isn't just with regards to the Popular Table. It's something that URN actually deals with more widely. The Pulse is going to be doing a mental health feature, a mental health special feature very, very soon. So this is in some ways a small taster and a build-up to what is a much wider URN focus. So if this is something you're interested in, please keep an eye out on future programs, because we will be discussing it on multiple platforms. But to discuss mental health with the lens of pop culture, we were thinking of actually approaching it in two ways. And the first way, which is what we'll be discussing now, is the way mental health is actually used in stories, in fictions, in music. So kind of the influence that mental health has had as a topic in wider pop culture. And I'm going to have to be honest and say that this is something where nuance is still largely lacking. You don't have many portrayals, if you're referring to films and television, you don't have that many portrayals of mental health issues actually being addressed properly. You've got things that are kind of sporadically placed and spread across. So, for instance, there are a lot of people who make assumptions about Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory. Massive example there, a very popular one. With regards to not directly mental health issues, but learning and developmental issues. But he also has certain ways in which he picks up on emotions. He's shown to go through extreme highs and extreme lows. But he's never actually someone that's addressed properly. In fact, there's a running joke where, oh, you're crazy. Oh, no, I can't be. My mother's had me tested. Which is, of course, a sitcom joke, and that's fine. It's within a specific context. But when you go into more wider cases where things like mental health are discussed, they're not really fleshed out much, are they? I can't think of too many examples, Alex. We were thinking about this earlier on, and we couldn't actually come up with many.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, because mental health is more and more of a topic. People begin to talk about it, but it's not really talked about, especially in pop culture, which you would think would be a place where that it would be make more sense to have such a discussion. One of the only example I could come up with of a TV series which dealt with mental illness, not as a main topic, but in the story, is Peaky Blinders. So it's not too much of a fantastic or sci-fi TV series, but it's still a TV series, so it's still falls in what we're talking about. And especially for the first series, but it works in all, like, also in the further series. But in the first series, all the reaction of having PTSD after, so Peaky Blinders takes place in the 1920s in Birmingham. So a lot of the characters, male characters, have fought in the First World War, and all their reaction to coming back to civilian life is, all of them are really, really well fleshed out, and the different reaction obviously are different depending on who the character is and what their the way they react to situations. Obviously it depends on the different characters, and I thought that really the way it was done, the way the characters and their actions and everything was fleshed out, was really, really interesting and really well done.
On the flip side, you do also have shows like Gotham, and this is something that was actually discussed on our show in the last academic year when Gotham started off, where we were talking about how mental health is almost used as a plot point And not in a very good way in that particular instance. I mean, don't get me wrong, I do actually quite enjoy Gotham. I think it's a good show. But sometimes mental health is simply thrown out as an obstacle that needs to be overcome. Or, in the case of Gotham, something that turns you from being a good guy into a bad guy. I mean, every single one of the villains has a clear mental health issue. Again, not specified what they are, but they have them. And there's an implication that this is kind of what pushes them. I mean, if you look at Batman comics, there's the whole idea of the Rogues Gallery being incarcerated in Arkham Asylum rather than in Blackgate Prison, and there's a whole political debate there, but the comics actually delve into that, which the show, for a lot of reasons, including timing, cannot just yet. But it does make you wonder whether that's a slightly disingenuous portrayal, because mental health isn't just an obstacle to be overcome or something that turns you from being morally good to morally corrupt. It is, as someone, frankly, who has lived with mental health for a long time, it's something that is part and parcel of who you are. And it affects you on many more levels than just, you know, suddenly losing a sense of moral judgment, which is what it often boils down to.
Yeah, I think also there are different issues there. You've got the issues of either they're not talked about at all and you just use as plot points, as you said. Or, for example, one example that comes to mind is in Civil War, where clearly some characters have mental health issues and I think they're well dealt with, but they're not named or talked about. And then you've got in others, just as you were saying, where they're kind of named, but not dealt with, or just it's just used just as, I don't know, despite Peter Parker being stung by a spider's changing him. But that's not what mental health issues are. It's not just,
it's something that I actually think does in popular culture, of course, that does tackle mental health quite well is actually the print media, so books. I think books, for the obvious reason that you are able to delve into areas much more deeply, but you obviously do have some books that directly deal with mental health issues, and I'm thinking about The Perks of Being a Wallflower, which of course has been made into a very good film and a very good adaptation in my opinion. You've obviously got young adult books, and not just young adult books, but novels that are specifically about struggles with mental health, and I think the characters there are a lot more well-rounded. Something I obviously talk about a lot of comic books, but you do actually have comics as a way to genuinely delve into mental health a lot more sincerely, I would say, than just a superficial here's a plot point. And I think part of that stems from the fact that books and comic books do allow for deeper character studies. I will fully admit that, because you get a lot more from a 200-page book than you get from a season of a TV show, and certainly more than from a film. And with a comic, because it's an ongoing thing, because it's an ongoing series, you're able to come back to issues that you might have picked up on, and it keeps going back and forth. But I often wonder why that kind of approach sometimes doesn't necessarily get picked up on screen as well, because the screen has much more of an impact, I would think.
Well, so I read a lot of books, and many of them are young adult books, and I've read books about with main characters who have depression. Currently reading a book where characters have PTSD and something, and what I was thinking as you were talking is that one of the reasons, it's not just that you can flesh out characters easier and go deeper, but it's also that when you publish a book with about a character with, for example, depression, and telling the story of this character, it doesn't cost as much money to you know, publish a book just around it compared to a TV series of one season or something. And obviously, because, and think that what you will, but because it's so much more expensive, then they won't want to take more risks. And it's again the same thing as with representation, whether it's ethnicity or LGBT or all that kind of stuff. This is also another kind of representation that they may be wary, and it may be a good thing or not, it may be a bad thing or not, but that's kind of one of the explanations that they may give.
Do you think that another reason why books in particular seem to deal with mental health a lot, obviously this is a generalization and there are individual films and TV shows that do a good job, we should point that out. You know, you've got films like Requiem for a Dream, you've got films like, even films that have courted controversy because of who made them, but films like Blue Jasmine, which deal a lot with kind of the effects of drug addiction and the influence that that has on mental health. So films do a good job. There are specific ones that do, but again, generally the print industry seems to do it better. And I'm wondering whether part of that is also because there's this almost stereotypical image of the writer as being someone who has struggled. And this, you know, the writer is someone who has dealt with a lot in their lives and therefore is an authority on it. Whereas with TV shows and films and the creative teams behind that, it's a lot more corporate focused.
That's actually a very good question. I know personally that that kind of author that have, you know, dealt with a lot and that kind of stuff, which is what in French we would call like white literature, the kind of book that will win an award and that kind of stuff, and not really the kind of book that I will read personally. So, but in terms of corporate identity for TV series especially, it's especially true in the case of American of TV series or films of things from the US. It really is, there's a feel that it's a group project, it's not one person's baby as it is the case with books. So definitely that it's something, yeah.
So I think that's an interesting discussion to have, and I think, to be very honest, this could be something that could take up an entire show. But I'd like to actually step away from that for the moment and look at the very real influence that mental health has on a more personal level for celebrities and with regards to fame. And just to kick this off, I want to refer to a couple of recent articles that have been published. And they're to do with how certain celebrities have dealt with their sexuality. Namely, Ollie Alexander from Years and Years, and Colton Haynes, who recently came out. And Ollie Alexander, in his interview, said that the very specific environment of the music industry, where it's all about, you know, selling a brand and creating a product, and of course the commercialization of that whole thing, did cause a lot of stress to him. He wasn't someone who had a massive issue with dealing with his sexuality, but it actually manifested as an eating disorder for him. Particularly the type of focus that was always on kind of the perfect body to have if you're a male singer. And he has opened up about how difficult it was to kind of deal with that, and how that in turn caused issues like anxiety and depression for him. Colton Haynes, meanwhile, came out after many years of speculation, it must be said. It was a beautiful coming out statement. But something that was quite unnerving in it was to see him say, I toyed with the idea of coming out before, and it made me so anxious that I actually needed to take time away from acting. And he checked into rehab for stress for several months. That was one of the reasons why he took time. He left the cast of Teen Wolf. That's one of the reasons why he left Arrow temporarily, and went from being a regular cast member to a recurring cast member. Or rather, recurring to a guest cast member. And it does make you wonder whether the kind of celebrity-obsessed world that we live in is a recipe for greater stress. And I don't just mean for celebrities, because clearly that is the case, but also for people who look up to these people as ideals and as role models. You know, looking at someone who has such a strong you know, physical presence, for instance, you might start to wonder whether you don't have the same thing. There's obviously so many cases of people wondering why they can't look like their favorite celebrities, or why they can't have the same type of opportunities. And there's a massive connection, I feel, with this influence. And I want to start off by touching on the slightly negative aspect that the very fame-based culture that we live in has on mental health. Alex, do you have any thoughts on this? It's a very broad topic, I realise, but...
Yeah, it is. I totally understand, and I feel like this is also a reason why some other famous people, like, an example that comes to mind of someone that really, really hates to be in public because of all the stress and everything, is Benedict Cumberbatch, would just avoid audiences and everything except when he has to and he's very shy. Or I was watching the Graham Norton show the other day with Johnny Depp was so shy, and just it felt that he was really uncomfortable. And that, I mean, when you become an actor, it's because you like to act, because you like the audience and that kind of stuff. But when you become famous, you have this added, the fact of being famous, the of people like shouting your name on wet carpets and all that kind of stuff, of taking pictures of you, of, you know, all that kind of stuff, that is not something you necessarily prepared for. So I could totally understand why some people may feel bad about that and have mental health issues because of the celebrity, the fact of being famous and everything, and all the stress and the anxiety.
Now, I think also, you know, when you think about the type of influence that celebrity and fame has, something that we do also forget is that the type of facade that fame brings with it. And I refer to the loss of such great individuals as Robin Williams, who, when he died, was suffering greatly from mental health issues, and yet no one outside of his family knew. There was a massive, massive shock to all of his fans, and I know I was certainly, I mean, I was devastated, but also extremely shocked. And this forgetfulness that they have private lives, and that not everything's perfect all the time. I remember when he died, the number of comments, the number of posts about, you know, the most powerful comedians are the ones who are sad inside. And you think about that, and you think about how strangely true that is, which is a very sobering statement to make, frankly.
And I feel at the same time that because of mental health issues are usually taboo at the same time, it's not necessarily talked. And I know that I didn't watch the video, but I've saw gifs of an interview by Kristen Bell, where she was talking about her depression and the mental health issues she had, and it just reading that was so, it felt good to know that, you know, to have someone to look up to that has this problem but still manages to do all of that and to not like be put down by the disease. So this, it's not just like the question, there obviously there is the question of private and public life and all that kind of stuff, but also artists that use their fame to help a cause. So we've talked previously in here about refugees and that kind of stuff, or about LGBT, but I really liked this new thing of like people with fame being more open that they have mental health issues, and that it's like normal, I don't really like this word, but like it's not an unusual thing to do, and that you can overcome this, and that it just happens to everyone.
I think that's a nice segue into what I think would be the final bit of this discussion, which is the role that something like celebrity and fame can have on raising these issues. So we've talked about, you know, representation in fiction, and we have generally agreed that it can be better, but also we touched on the fact that the representation that we have is a good step because it means that it's being talked about. And I think you're absolutely right. It's becoming increasingly common for people to now discuss mental health issues. And I would be lying if I said that some of that wasn't to do with celebrities using their influence to bring these things to the foreground. You definitely cannot deny the impact that people have when they talk about these things. And whether it comes to talking about dealing with grief, such as when Tom Daley talked about losing his father, or for that matter, Whitney Houston's family talking about her loss, Michael Jackson's family still coming to terms with his, and you have them, these things being spoken about openly. You obviously have people talking about actually dealing with mental health issues, and you mentioned Kristen Bell, and I also saw bits of that interview, and it was very empowering, I think is the word I'm looking for, where, you know, with all due respect, of course, it's a very difficult thing for her to talk about, and an extremely specific circumstance that perhaps made her talk about that, but it was very empowering as someone who's a fan to watch that. And I think that celebrities can have a very big influence that way. Do we necessarily want to live in a world where it's celebrities who wield that influence? Maybe not. And that's something we've also discussed on the show before, where we've talked about the over-reliance that we have on celebrity culture, where sometimes we perhaps focus on the wrong things and the wrong people. But at the same time, there are a lot of celebrities who are aware of the fact that this is the world that we do live in, and they make wonderful strides forward with that. And I think that's something that needs to be encouraged and definitely needs to be applauded. Now, we've reached, I think, a nice organic end to this part of the discussion. As always, if you have any comments that you'd like to share, please do message in at urn1350.net, or you could tweet us at urn1350 or at Popular Table. We can see the tweets after the show as well, so if you're listening to this as a podcast and you'd like to send in your thoughts, please do so.